see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see, it's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpet getting ready to? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Welcome to the Watchman for Jesus program and the Bible study for tonight. Welcome. Tonight, I got some serious things to talk about. Well, as if I knew before, but we all do, I guess. Tonight, I'm going to give you some solutions. Hopefully workable. Some real solutions. Now, we could talk about bug out bag, planting seeds, martial arts, the best shotguns of Mossberg or whatever. You know, 9mm this, that, and the other, and what a weapon for a woman to use, or buy slingshots, whatever. Freeze-dried food, where to put your gold. Family, all that's not going to do you a bit of good when it gets down to it. It's good to have all that, home protection, all that, yeah, you know. But there's a certain point in time that even the macho types and the generals and the elite, they actually think that they are prepared in the deep underground military bases and their little condos back underneath there. They're not safe at all. When they release the Nephilim on them, the Nephilim are going to destroy every man, woman, and child in those deep underground military bases. They have no protection. The only protection they're going to have is the Holy Spirit. He's liable not to be down there. Might be there for one that calls upon his name, but like the prisoner, like the criminal on the side of Jesus, he's already dying, but he lived that day, even though he died. Because Jesus said to him, "Today you'll be with me in paradise," but the criminal on the other side, He died the second death, the first and the second death, with separation from God for eternity. And there's no good deeds to do in hell to get you out of there. There's no reincarnation. There is incarnation. Ooh, that's a whole different ball game. Incarnation is how the supernatural comes inside a physical body. Family, this is not philosophy or some spiritual whatever. This is physics, occult alchemy, manipulation, witchcraft, on the lowest level. But in this supernatural world and universe we live in, God came down, incarnated into human flesh. And his name was Jesus, the only begotten. Notice that word begotten. That's really, really important. Sons of God with the fallen angels. They weren't begotten. Well, they'd be gotten rid of, maybe, but they weren't begotten. Begotten means he came the usual way. So in other words, our Savior, the incarnated flesh or the living God into Mary, he came in with an umbilical cord, or should I say came out with an umbilical cord. Our Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, had to be fed, clothed, diapers changed, or whatever they had back then. He probably skinned his knee. Why would an almighty God, creator of the universe, lower himself to, as a physical human being, to have his diaper changed? Wouldn't he come down here as a majestic, lightning flashing, thundering, roaring king or something to take over? No, he didn't. He humbled himself. He came down to die on the cross for our sins. That was the mission all along, was for that. Dying on the cross, and resurrecting wasn't an afterthought. It wasn't, well, that didn't work, so I guess I got to die on the cross now. No, because it was projected, prophesied 360 some odd times in the Old Testament of a coming Messiah. And it told them how he's going to come in. And you can look up on your own the different prophecies of Jesus coming in. The Messiah coming. Didn't name him yet, did it? And exactly how it would do, what would happen. So if the people, it's like the Antichrist. You read about the Antichrist, there's 46 prophecies of the Antichrist. If you study your Bible, you'll know what those prophecies are. Well, if they'd have studied their Bible, or their scroll back then, the Old Testament, at least the crowd would say, oh, there he comes on a donkey. He is the Messiah. There's no doubt. And what happened? They just went on rumors. They turned on him in a second. If they'd have really known and believed he was Messiah, they wouldn't have turned on him. But then again, if they hadn't have turned on him, he wouldn't have been crucified now, would he? God plays a part in our lives more than people can imagine. They think God just sits up there on the throne, just does, looks down. No. He plays an active part in our lives. Always has. But he came down here humbled himself, like we're supposed to humble ourselves. It's hard to do for us, isn't it? Satan's made it difficult for that very reason. Okay, before I get to dialogue, before I start talking, I got to dedicate the broadcast because I'm anxious to get moving here. I got a lot to talk about. I got some new listeners, I do believe, I think. And I'm going to sort of talk a little basic tonight, but I'm still going to include, hopefully, some things you haven't heard, my regular listen. Sometimes I say things I'm not expecting to say myself. Lord, we thank you tonight for being able to come together for Bible study. Lord, we appreciate, we thank you for having our own network. Lord, we thank you for Jesus Christ who died on the cross for our sins. And we thank you, Father, for the Holy Bible, the King James Bible. Father, we ask you tonight to give us wisdom, discernment, share the gospel. Father, give us courage, wisdom, and discernment to live the life. And give us the covering blood of Jesus to protect us. Father, we lift up to you in prayer our brethren. Sherry, Father, we pray for the wife of Brother Louis. And for others we prayed for in the past, Lord Henry, that we asked, Father, that you bring his mind back, that you work on him there, Father, and miracles will be made. We pray for Thomas, Lord, that you'll heal his body and give him a voice to speak and more opportunities. Father, we pray for others that we've lifted up to you before. Through their healings, we'll bring people together and families together. We pray, Father, for an awakening of this country. That on the pulpit, they'll wake up. They'll start preaching the truth. That, Father, the King James Bible be lifted up as the only word of God. The whistleblowers will come out to tell the truth about the gospel. Tell the truth about what's going on in the background, Lord, that they'll get away from these secret societies. And, Father, you'll close them down. So, Father, we pray for an awakening of the truth. These things we pray, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus. We pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Tonight, I want to talk about the some other areas that how the world's set up. I'm going to talk about handling generational curses. I found this is what's going on today. And boy, it's picking up steam, let me tell you what. You see it more and more every day. Every day, something. I've said before, and there's others that said the same thing, that on a public level, on a normal level, and the average person that doesn't see amazing things and all that, just go about their daily life and so forth, best way I can describe it right now, we'll start experiencing supernatural events and dreams and visions. And some things good, some things not good. And it's going to leave people mind-boggled. In the occult world, in voodoo, witchcraft, the supernatural, those dealing in the New Age, high-level Freemasons at the highest level, they experience the supernatural events. They see the orbs, UFOs flying around it. Little gray men and so forth, and these are demonic entities in their own fleshly bodies. In the rituals of satanic worship, sacrifice of children, They see supernatural events. In the UN, Pentagon, other places, high level, they invoke demonic entities. It's normal. They think they're dimensional beings, or they think they're time travelers or other such nonsense. They got them fooled. Maybe down deep in the crevices of their soul, maybe that there's a little voice saying, oh no, that's a demon. But they put them away by justification. No, it's not such a thing. It's an alien. It's a dimensional being from another dimension coming here to lead us. Oh, he's going to lead you all right. He's going to lead you to a burning hell is where they're going to lead you. Because they're not dimensional. They're not time travelers. They're not aliens from another planet. They're demonic entities taking flesh of a different DNA, to be more exact about it. Possession, channeling in three different methods. I've talked about this before. Chelas, avatars, all kinds of different ways. And when they determine is for the importance of the individual they put in place or the level of energy, life energy they've acquired to be able to manifest or to possess. They can't do it on their own since after the flood. The flood, no pun intended, God clipped their wings. They're nothing more than orbs of light. No longer physical flesh, but they can manipulate DNA. They work with human beings by consent. By consent. You know what that means? That the human being has to consent to it. It means they can't overpower. They make you think they're more powerful than what they really are. But they do it by trickery. Lust. Desires. Yea, did he say, take the apple or pomegranate or whatever fruit it was. It's disobedience. But it's going into that sex. It's going into that Masonic lodge. It's going into taking the cards, reading the fortune. It's playing the Ouija board or whatever, dealing with numerology. All this stuff is you giving permission at the moment of consent. That's why taking the mark of the beast will damn you for an eternity. What's the mark of the beast? We've been set up for it all along. It's real simple. Actually, I mean, I've thought it complicated too, trying to figure out what the mark of the beast is and all this stuff. And here's my conclusion. It's simple. You can't buy or sell. Well, that's money. Okay, so it's not the money is the mark of the beast, but take it all the way back to Nimrod. At some point in time, at Noah, wife, three sons, three wives, somewhere in their civilization developing after those eight, only eight came off. Only eight people lived on this entire planet on one piece of land. And it was a big piece of land called Earth. It wasn't separated yet. Ah. When they started reproducing, Japheth went north. Ham went south. Shem stayed put in the middle east, which is, by the way, adjacent to the United States, North American continent, before God divided the land. Notice that. That means the cultural background of those human beings living in different places on the earth would have a different species of development because of where they were located. That's how it affects DNA. Voice, language, changes DNA over a long period of time. They've proven that now scientifically. We've always known this, but so by people living in different parts, notice all the Orientals are in one place. Why didn't some Orientals develop in Africa? Why not? Why don't you have a polar bear in Africa? Why not? Why don't we have a polar bear or in Africa or a coconut in the Arctic? Because that ELF transmission, the frequency vibration of different areas and ley lines on the earth affects the plants, animals, DNA, molecule development or evolution. And no, not evolution of mankind. It's the changes of each generation will change, but not evolution. Evolution is horizontal evolution. In other words, a bird turns into a lizard. No. The evolution of the birds turning into lizards and dinosaurs, well, that was guided. That was manipulated DNA by the fallen angels using alchemy. Yeah. Same thing for this caveman issue. Satan's attempt at generational regeneration. To set up his world system. I'm laying the groundwork. Family, when Satan, fallen angels that had physical form before the flood and walked the face of the earth, was able to manipulate DNA, creating different hybrids, which is exactly what they're doing today. Except now they're using computer modeling and DNA genetics and this, that, no, no, and cloning and all kinds of stuff going on. They didn't have that back then. So they had to do DNA manipulation and then wait a generation to see how it worked. Don't have to do that today. Technology accelerates growth. Satan has no wisdom, no discernment, but he's got a lot of knowledge, but it's based on trial and error. So when he created a hybrid human or animal against God's laws, it allowed him to be possessed. So in other words, that demonic entity was separated from God. Now, here's the rub to that. When these hybrid human beings, all of them, died in a flood, energy is never destroyed. Energy just transforms. It doesn't die. It doesn't go away. Those demonic entities, those spirits inside the bodies that were abominations, were stuck in the abyss. They became the demons we're fooling with today. And they're looking for what? What they lost long ago. A way to interact in this physical world and out of the abyss of the supernatural. They're looking for bodies. That's another big picture. You see. When those fallen angels, got cast out of heaven, they became demons, high-level demons. The abomination of bodies they produced, the spirits were there, but they turned out to be evil spirits because they're separated from God. Whatever is separated from God is evil. Not going to be accepted. They want bodies. That's why they want your bodies. They want to destroy God's creation and replace it with theirs, based on transhumanism. Super soldiers. Now you see the big picture? He's saying that, God, I can do better than you with my binary computer manipulated flesh. I can do better with my knowledge than you can supernaturally. I can use your creation against you. That's why they control the weather. But I got news for them. God's already. You see, what God does is they're basing their plans on scientific principles that set up by God in creation. They got to learn them. They do it by numerology, calculus, science, trigonometry, geometry. You see. Periodic table. They got to name God's creation. That way they can use formulas to manipulate it. Tower of Babel is a good example. It fell too. So what God does, when they get too close, he simply just changes the frequency of vibration and their formulas fall flat. That's why they got to keep upgrading their equipment, because equipment keeps failing below. See, that's what's going on in the background. The circuits bust, break, rot, entropy. That's why evolution is impossible on its own. There's so much going on around us, we have no idea the fighting going on around us when you plead the blood of Jesus around you. Now, that's the mechanics of what's going on today. So we have to deal with it. You can't just blink like we're on Bewitched, wiggle your nose and blink yourself out of there, or call for Scotty to beam you up. It ain't going to happen. It might in TV. That's scripted. But Captain, it ain't working. It's a supernatural war that you're in. You know, you got to make the most of time. Time doesn't stop. You know, you tend to read Ephesians 5:16. What is Ephesians 5:16? In Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time, is there evil? I didn't write this. God did through his obedient servants, disciples, prophets. It's all there. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Five 17. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Oh, okay, I got it. In Ephesians 5:18, I got to read you. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Okay, Lord, I got your point. I've been told before that Jesus sent my daughter she's married to a friend of mine, and both of them are friends, and she's a daughter of a high level Freemason in Saudi Arabia. And she told me one day, that Jesus sinned. I said, really? She said, yes. I said, how's that? She said, drink wine. I said, oh. But what they failed to do is to read the Bible. Is read bits and pieces and parts. He says, be not drunk. See, wine was used back then as a regular. It was about sacrifice, about, you know, it was the drink, but not to get drunk. Not drinking in excess. Well. But Ephesians 5:16, we tend to read that, redeeming time. If Paul's calling believers to action because the days are short. But that's not what he means. He said, we are to make the most of time because the days are evil. And they are. We try to find good in them, and we can find good. We make good, we do the best we can. Evil days are days of opportunity. The more evil that our culture becomes, the more opportunities there will be to show and to share our faith. There's always something positive and something negative, if you look hard enough. See, God controls human history. He permits the rise of nations. He determines their geographical boundaries. He orchestrates their fall so that men and women will seek the Lord. That's why revolution is the most nonsensical thing there ever could be. Our revolution was instigated by Freemasonry at the highest level, Order of the Garter, Luciferian. Revolution did not play in God's world. He sets up kingdoms and takes them down. Sometimes he'll put a despotic government in control of a people that's lost for punishment. Sometimes he'll allow a despotic government to increase because of people falling away. That's why Romans 13 stands. If you don't have government, you will have anarchy. Take your pick. Can't have both. If the people trust in God, he'll replace that government. I think we've lost that faith. 1776, we never won our freedom. It never happened. We've been placated all along. We celebrate the 4th of July for nothing. I hate telling you that, but it's a fact. Because we are today a colony of England, officially. They just haven't told you that. We are called the United States of America, Incorporated. They keep it hidden. And that's why JFK was going to challenge that and said, well, you know, I'm president. I'm going to go ahead and take it. Well, JFK, you can't. I'm going to do it anyway. So they couldn't stop him because that would expose their facade that we're actually a sovereign nation. Canada, Israel, and Australia is the same thing. It's been falsified all along. So revolution, armed revolution, plays right into the hands of Illuminati every single time. And that's why everybody's screaming revolution at the highest level, because it justifies martial law. That's what they want. That's what they know. And if it does happen, and it does win, we've gotten rid of the Muslim government in America, blah, blah, blah. All they're doing is replacing a secret society for a secret society. That's all they're doing. I'm not going to go into that now. I've got that in an early broadcast, actually. That's all it is. Pot for the kettle. Every single time. But God controls human history. He'd been controlling it all along. I've also mentioned that. 1933, 1963, 1972, 74, 1984 time frame, 1999. What's that? Five? Four? Five? Revolutions were planned in America that failed, each one. You think you finally get the hint? But God controls human history. He allows a certain latitude. Men and women will seek the Lord is why he does this. Acts 17. Acts 26 and 27. And hath made of all, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. History is his story. And his story of providing salvation for a lost world that began in Adam and Eve. And pointing people to the Lord. You know, even the forces of evil are used in such a way that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are Lord and you alone. Isaiah 37:20. The evil he uses, allows, separates the wheat and the tares. Otherwise, you couldn't separate it. This is all that's going on today that people's missing. Missing the whole darn thing. Now therefore, O Lord our God, Isaiah 37:20. Save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only. So you know, God may hold back his judgment for a time. He's going to allow evil tyrants to have their day, upsetting people's well-ordered lives, presenting them with dilemmas and problems beyond their understanding. And evil brings pain. but it's the genius of God to bring good out of evil. Romans 8:28. I asked the Lord this afternoon, I said, I need something to talk about that is going to bring us today using Scripture. He led me to this, what I'm telling you now. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to bring them who are to be called according to His purpose. So, evil times are therefore not to be feared. They're times of unparalleled opportunity. That's why you got to make the most of them. You see. That's it. Spear said, Lord, help us to redeem the time you give us every day, to take each opportunity to follow and obey. God can take problems and turn them into opportunities, challenges, solutions. No problem. Just making the most out of time of where you are. Because He's coming back to church. And there's nothing they can do about it except save themselves. And the only way they're going to do that is through Jesus. There is no other way. Oprah is wrong. Osteen is wrong. Billy Graham nowadays is wrong. You do have to know the name of Jesus. He changed his tune about a decade ago with Robert Schuller, who's a 33rd degree Mason, and now it's coming out again. Billy Graham says you don't have to know the name of Jesus. He didn't used to say that. And age has absolutely nothing to do with changing the Scripture. Our age and our getting older has nothing to do with Scripture and doctrine. It has to do with whether or not we're a 33rd degree Freemason or Knights of Malta or Knights of Columbus or Order of the Garter or Illuminati. Now, it's got to do with it. Them changing it don't make it true and don't make it going to work. It's combating the supernatural is what's going on today. Says so in Psalms 2. Why do the heathen rage? 2:1, rather. And the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cards from us. Cords. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. Mankind's not going to do it. Some general ain't going to come up and say, well, give me 250,000 Marines. I'll take Washington. These people don't have a clue about the life of the world they live in. They got a clue. 4 stars or not. Might as well take those stars. No. Turn a star sideways, you get the satanic Baphomet. Upside down, satanic Baphomet. We got 50 pentagrams on our state, on our national flag. The Jews, the Israel, Star of David, that's one of the most occultic signs of witchcraft that you can find. The only purpose for the Star of David is not anything of David at all. It's Crest of Solomon. It's witchcraft, the occult. Union Jack, nothing but crosses, X's, occult signs. Islamic flag, green. Dark green is color pale. The half moon is Allah, the moon god. The star you see in the flags is the morning star, Satan, Lucifer. Because God came down as the only begotten Son, Jesus, was the bright and morning star. Big difference. It's important what I've just said. This is deep about the occult, the use of flags and sovereignty and patriotism and all that stuff. It's to keep us divided and foment wars. That's the only purpose of it. Because New World Order is going to bring everybody together under a malevolent government. And when Jesus Christ comes back, it's going to be under one leader. That's Jesus in Jerusalem, not in America, in Jerusalem. The holy city. A benevolent government with a rod of iron will be Jesus ruling after Armageddon. And there's nothing they can do to stop it. Nothing. So mankind, if they replace the government, it will be, promise you, a malevolent government. One evil for another. They're fooling a lot of good people, though, in believing that they're going to solve the problem. It's not going to happen. They're lying to them at the highest level. Killing off our soldiers at 22 per day by suicide is being orchestrated. I'm not going to get mad on this broadcast. I'm not going to start yelling and carrying on. I'm telling myself that because it just makes me mad. I just get, you know, I'm not going to go back the way it used to be. But when I sit here and think about the generals that's up there and the Joint Chief of Staff that knows what they're doing to murder our troops, and that's what they are. They're all murderers. Because they brief the Council of Foreign Relations. And the Council of Foreign Relations is the Illuminati. Slam dunk in the United States. And they have a close relationship. Because they become secret society members. They know what they're doing. Our highest level military leaders are trying to destroy our U.S. military going back for 1960s. Fact, not speculation. U.S. military members of the Council of Foreign Relations, there was 7 in the Joint Chief of Staff. In 1993. Don't tell me no. I imagine it's increased since then, and they brief them. So do the math on that. Now, dictatorships start wars because they need external enemies to exert internal control over their own people. Richard Pearl. Yeah. The Prince of Darkness, he wrote. Family, this is Satan. God is of this world. Satan is God of this world, but he's not king of the universe. James Warburg said, "We shall have one world government, whether or not you like it, by conquest or consent." James Warburg said it February 17th, 1950. Little do they know. You see. David Rockefeller said, "We're on the verge of a global transformation. All we need is the right major crisis, and the nations will accept the new order." Well, I got news for the Yahoos. that the closer they get to a new world order, a Satan's reign, the quicker they are to their judgment. A lot of people don't want to hear that. They want to see man solve this on his own. That's not going to happen. Well, family, one thing that people are forgetting about at the Christian Identity and other cult groups and so forth is there was a new covenant made in Jesus Christ's blood. Several great covenants in which God was pleased to enter the human beings, either conditional or unconditional covenants. The Abrahamic covenant, you can find if you look it up there, Abrahamic covenant. It's an unconditional covenant. It'll be seen that God relied at no point on the character or conduct of Abraham. He simply declared to Abraham what he proposed to do. It's based on Abraham's faith, but not Abraham's faithfulness. The covenant was and is assured through the faithfulness of God alone. The new covenant was made in his blood, by which every Christian is now related to God, is an unconditional covenant. It's God's declaration of what he proposes to do, and this for the one who placed his faith in Christ. The Hebrew Roots movement and Sacred Name movement wants to go back in the past. That's why they're coming up with Yeshua and Jeshua, to get everybody to start saying it. Why? Because Sananda Emmanuel, a fallen angel, look it up right now, is calling himself Yeshua. They're trying to trick you and sneak again. That's what they're trying to do. That's what that Yeshua is all about. Oh, they're very good at trying to convince people of that by changing the Bible. Now, tonight I wanted to talk about the generational curses and solutions, because that's what's going on today. We think because we go to church we're protected. No, you're not. Demons are in the church. Kundalini, holy laughter, holy drunkenness, Kundalini, all this stuff, the tongues issue, that's not of God today. He's a lion. Or they're sadly mistaken. It's one of the two. Either way, it's not forgivable. God's going to hammer them bad. They're responsible to know these things. Can a Christian be possessed by demons? And the demons I've explained about 45 minutes ago, who they really are. There's millions of them. They're like, demons are really kind of like specks of light, like little orbs. The big orbs you see on the YouTube and orbs they see when they do the conjuring up at Freemason halls at the highest level, or the UN building when they do the conjuring. Oh, yeah. That orb will either possess or will itself manifest into a different kind of flesh, because of sacrifice or disasters they've created. Now you see how, what that's all about? You see? And those supernatural beings run those meetings. That's how up and close and personal it gets. But the individuals, by our emotions, turning away from God, opens up portals in our body to be possessed by these specks of light. They want you to think that demons are monsters and all this. Well, they can take on that shape and form. But in reality, that's an illusion. The orbs of the fallen angels, they have to constantly keep moving and changing frequency, otherwise they get caught in the abyss. To get caught in the abyss, it takes a huge amount of energy, life force energy, to get them out of the abyss, kind of like they have to go through a labyrinth of sort, gathering energy as they go along. It's a little complicated, to tell you the truth, but that's kind of the concept. And finally, they come out of the abyss into the second heaven, second universe, the physical universe is where they reside, on the planets, but they're only in spiritual form. Saturn, you can see the portal of the hexagon. That's a portal. It's how the energies travel. It's complicated. But it's by sacrifice of human beings, sacrifice of the forest fires, all these things, like shaman. Shaman supernaturally produce these fires. The fires, disasters, extinguishing human life or animal life, life forces, is absorbed by these beings. This is not science fiction. Sometimes I wonder if I should go this far in some of these classes, but Bible studies, but this is what's going on today. If you're a born-again Christian, you have ownership or possessed by God through the Holy Spirit. But you could be demonized by spirits outside, not inside, of your body. It's a technicality, but one that confuses most believers. A demon cannot possess you when you have the Holy Spirit in you. And you're protected. You have guardian angels. They are real. As a believer, you can attend church on a regular basis and still be demonized. It means that the areas of your personality, when you're not in full control, so you may still attend services, but afflicted by demons. A demon can still be inside a church, but the power of the Spirit of Jesus Christ within you can force a demon out, to be sure. Same thing about your homes. It's even true for sickness. You may have members of the church, you are sick with various illnesses, but it's nothing more than affliction of demonization. You tell them that, they get mad at you. But it's what's happening. If you have a Jesuit minister, total evil, pretending to be godly, you're going to have a church that's going to be demonized. Now, some of you, my regular listeners, I have told you the mechanics, the physics of why they have the stained glass windows and why they're at the high level and why what happens when the sun radiation goes through that stained glass window and the colors. It has a lot to do with frequency vibration. Ooh, that's another story. To be delivered from the sickness, you must be delivered from the demon. All sickness? No. Some of it is physical. But the sickness makes you weak to be possessed. Why don't we hear about this in modern churches today? It's not really that preachers don't know about demons because it's taught to them in the Bible. That's the first subject Jesus Christ talks about whenever he speaks of the works within the church. He tells you to cast out demons. His mystery, he taught the disciples to do this first. Here's the problem. The problem is, according to Alberto Rivera and others, the priests in the Vatican, there is a collaboration between the demonic realm and the priest that exercises. Because when the voodoo doctor, when the medicine man, when the priest manipulates or communicates with these demons in any way, to give that priest, voodoo man, or medicine man power over the people, the demon is thrust out as a cooperative effort. And when that happens and a person's healed, it's not by God. You see. And actually, I can find you scripture that talks about this. Now to think about it, and this will explain this scripture. The scripture you'll find in Matthew 7, 21 to 23. In Matthew 7, 21 to 23, it says, Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And that's where that comes from. Whoa. You see, because the miracles they performed was not of God. It's given to men of power to placate them to thinking they were actually working for God, when they're part of a system that's against God. This is heavy, what I'm telling y'all. I don't, you know, if y'all caught this, this is what's going on today. Rick Joyner is a good example. Rick Warren, Rick Joyner, Copeland, Hagee, Osteen. Osteen don't do the supernatural. He's the Tony Robbins on the pulpit to placate. When we sin, willfully sin, God sends us a guilt, a conviction in our heart. It's called guilt. It's like, I shouldn't have said that. I need to return this. I got to go over to. But when you go to these meetings and churches, whatever, they say, I don't feel bad. Do this, do that. Go buy yourself a car, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's justification, what they're preaching. Justifying our sins is what they're preaching out there. When God's trying to talk to you, you're straying, you're going off the side. They got songs about this, don't they? McLaren? Was it McLaren? Don't worry, be happy. Huh? Listen to some Beethoven. Beethoven and Mozart, oh, they were channeled and they were avatars. I don't know if Mitch was, but. But they were. Mozart, Beethoven, these were avatars of the fallen angels. It's all about frequency. Why don't our churches do this? Why do they take out a parishioner out of the church who acts out and is a demon? Why would a church not help you if you think your home is afflicted by demons? They were told by Jesus Christ that we are to go out and tell others. Why don't they? You have a few that do. Nowadays, not many. They give you Dr. Feelgood meetings and how marriages should work and all this, but they don't tell you about how to get saved. And that would solve the marriage problem in the first place. They're fanning the flames, not stopping the fire. The Roman Catholic Church decided to cast out demons, you need a specialist, what they call an exorcist. Don't they have a movie about that? Anyway, same goes for your home. So tradition began then. You have a practice of the Wiccan. This is where your black and white, your duality comes in. Oh, yeah, we bought a new house. I got Mary Jane to come over and bless it. She's with the Wicca group down here. Get out, evil spirits. You understand what I'm saying here, don't you, family? So the Wiccan, the good witch of the north, comes into your house and does all the chanting and bang-banging and tambourine playing or whatever they do. And the demons leave to give her power. So the human will see it and follow Wicca. That's how it's done. Same thing in the Catholic Church. Our brother Rivera, whom they murdered, a Jesuit priest, talks about this quite extensively. In the early days, the church thought could improve upon Jesus' technique. The Roman Catholic Church decided to cast out demons You need a specialist. Goes for your home. Tradition began and passed down through the generations of churches to this day. What Satan don't want is to reveal that he and demons do exist and that you have the authority through Jesus Christ over the demons. Matthew 17:21, the King James Bible. So Satan would infiltrate the church, suppress the techniques to exercise demons to keep you all busy, use fraudulent Bibles to make sure you don't know how. Whew. That's where you get your holy laughter, holy drunkenness, and all that sort of thing. Oh, I'm probably making some people mad if they hear this. But I'm not over concerned about that. Other people don't want to hear it because it starts conviction. Sometimes I got to say things on the air that puts me under conviction. But I have to say it anyway. Demons come in through the occult background. Tom, what? What do you think about numerology or a pink Ouija board? What do you mean? That's demonic, man. Stay away from that stuff. Repent if you use it. You got to be humble. Pride's the greatest barrier to deliverance. Be honest. Confess your faith in Jesus. Confess any known sin of yourself or ancestors. Repent. Get rid of every occult object or contact. Forgive all other people. Not an emotion, it's a decision. And the prayers, very important. Derek Prince talks about this a lot. Now, he don't use the King James Bible, but he has good information. But these aliens can alter your perception of your surroundings. They're demons. They're not aliens. Aliens can control what you think when you see. They can appear in any number of guises, shapes, and forms because of the way they transform. The aliens that are demons can take us, our consciousness, out of our physical bodies, disable our control of our bodies, install one of their own entities. One of the three methods I've talked about before. They use the bodies as vehicles for their own activities before returning your consciousness to your bodies. This actually is done by use of drugs. Marijuana is a big one. Aliens can be present with us in a visible state, can make themselves only partially visible, like the shadow people or the man with a hat. But all this can stop if you're determined to speak the name of Jesus Christ. That's how it works. Do you know that that's one of the reasons why they want to bring marijuana back? So the government makes it illegal. Then they put out information that would cure cancer. But we're not going to let you do it. So that makes people want it more. Oh, gosh. Okay, well, legalize it. Yeah, okay, that's the game they play. They use those like Stephen Greer to say the government's hiding UFOs. Oh, they are? Well, we need to go find out about them. But they don't say anything about wanting to find out about demons. But UFOs, yes. The government must reverse. It must reveal this secret so it draws everybody there. Oh, gosh. Okay, we'll tell you about the UFOs. It's a trick to get you to want it, believe it. If the government's against it, then you got to believe it's true. So they'll release it. That's the game they play. You know, long ago, marijuana was used in shamanistic rituals in India, China, and Syria. You ever heard of the peace pipe? Peyote? Yeah. Yeah, a little patootie for the peyote. You know what? ancient Chinese writing, Pin Sao Ching. Ping Sao Ching. It sounds like something you drop your change or something. But it noted, he noted that if taken over long term, marijuana makes one communicate with the spirits. Unquote. Pin Sao Ching. About 100 A.D. Around the first, second century. If taken over long term, it, which is talking about marijuana, makes one communicate with spirits. They want you possessed. That's why they're making marijuana legal. A Taoist priest wrote in 5th century B.C. that marijuana was employed by necromancers. That's to set forward time and reveal future events, supposedly, which would really be illusions. And, you know, today many groups, including the Rastafarians, the Tipicano Indians of Mexico, the Kasai tribes of the Congo, they use marijuana as a sacrament in religious functions. Hey, Pope, how you doing? Oh, it's good stuff. Oh, yeah, man. Take this. Here you go. Ah, Pope Francis. That's good stuff, man. Here, take it. Whoa. You know the Kasai, considered K-A-S-K-A-S-I-I, consider marijuana to be a god, the nectar of delight. That's why experimenting or dabbling with drugs could get you in a whole lot of trouble. Demons just watch and wait for people to punch a hole in their protective hedge by experimenting with these kinds of forbidden substances. I never touched marijuana in college because I was rebellious. Everybody used it. I said, well, I'm going to rebel against you. But I didn't do much better. I used moonshine. I had some from Mount Airy, you know, peach brandy. Whew, man, that stuff would make you blind. Cut up peaches and put them in the jar and let it sit for 6 months, 3 months, however you want it. Stuff make your toes curl. Wasn't much better. Either way, it's bad. A shaman named Red Eagle explained, the most common problem arising from spiritual work with cannabis is underestimation of its impact. He says, I've come across heavy smokers, even some that experienced their heroin, who were convinced that this mild drug would not affect them at all. They are surprised to find themselves carried away into deep in the roots of their problems and facing things that had been dodging and covering up with harsh chemical drugs before. They can create a situation where shamanic supervision would be advisable. At the very least, someone who's really familiar with the spiritual use of cannabis should be around. The hallucinogenic capacities of the drug are tremendous. If called upon, unexpected vision can often be unsettling. Cannabis is too often used as a mildly stimulating commodity, which does not compare to spiritual use of the same drug at all. Generally, people tend to drift too deeply into the other worlds without having painfully acquired the ability to orientate themselves to an altered state of mind. Unquote, Red Eagle, a practicing shaman. Now you know why they want Marahuchi. Mary Jane, marijuana. While they say all the medical benefits of it to pull people in, to make it illegal to make people want it. If a government said, hey, go take it, go get it. They say, what they're up to. I don't know. Better check it out. So this way, it's what you can't have is what you want the most. And they know that manipulation. Well, I was talking last night about generational curses. When you've dealt into the unknown, the supernatural, Freemasonry, I'm afraid, because you've taken a blood oath, and in Freemasonry, Lucifer is the god they serve. And the lower levels, they don't know it yet. They'll find out later. It's what they do. They don't tell them this at first. It's kept secret. And that's what the Blue Lodges are all about. The Blue Lodge is to find out who's going to keep a secret and who's not. Because there are secrets, as you probably know by now, are part of the occult, alchemy, and so forth. Now, there are six steps in breaking the generational curse. The first step is the full surrender. And the first thing you're going to have to do is be willing to come into full surrender of you and your entire life with the Lord. The very first rule in spiritual warfare, before you can even begin to do battle with demonic spirits, is that you have to be walking and operating in full surrender with God through Jesus Christ. If you're not willing to come into full surrender, well, this means letting Him take over the reins of your life and lead you in direction that He will now want you to go. You'll have no help unless you do this. And you do not want to be messing around with demons in the second heaven. Be like those twins that tried to exorcise those demons, and the demon just beat the dickens out of them. Literally, it's in the Bible. About killed them. James 4:7. Therefore, submit to God, the full surrender. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. All these demons are tied together. About telepathy of some sort. So, Satan, Santa, Sanat, is not like Santa Claus. Santa Claus knows all the evil that everybody does. Well, see, Satan, Santa, Satan, Sanat Kumara, that's something. They're all connected supernaturally to the demons. So what one demon knows, they all know. You got it? So it's not that Satan goes to everybody at one time or whatever. It's that demons, they're all connected in the inner working of a supernatural web of sort. You have to be willing to fully submit to God before you can even begin to resist and fight against the devil. Even Archangel Michael said, the Lord rebuke you. Why didn't Archangel Michael, through his power, say, I rebuke you, Satan? No, he himself, fallen angel, the angel Michael, the real angel Michael, not the fake one they got coming up, but the real angel Michael, in the battle over Moses' body, said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you. You must first be willing to submit to God before you can even begin to resist and fight against the devil and make them demons flee from you. Submitting to God means you have entered in full surrender with him. You have to be willing to fully surrender every part of your being to him. That's not being taught in church today. If it is, you're lucky. But you got to be able to surrender body, soul, and spirit, along with your entire life over to him. Self-denial. If you're willing to make that full surrender, you'll now be the one who will be in total control of your life and lead the direction he'll want you to go. And then when you've done that, you'll be ready for step two. So next week we'll talk about, no, I'm kidding. Step two, confess the sins of your sinning parent to God the Father. Oh, boy, that's a hard one to do. You have high respect for your father, your grandfather, your great-great-grandfather. But to confess that sin that he was a slave trader, or confess that sin he was a master, he was a mason. Family, I'm not getting down on the Masons at all. I'm trying to tell you what really, I'm not anti-Mason. Who am I to be anti-anybody? I'm telling you the mechanics of this. I'm telling you the reality of the supernatural. I'll bring it up for the Masons so they'll know what in the world they're dicking in, what their Dickens is. Because they're in Dickens right now, man. They're in a bad way. What they're involved in. And to confess the sins of a parent you respect highly, let alone ourselves, that's heavy. That's not easy to do. Yeah, I can see here on number two, I can read it off, tell you it, explain it. But for you to actually do it means you got to know your family history. That's not it. It's to actually look at your respected grandfather, your father, your great-great-grandfather, whatever, and say, Lord, I confess the sins of my great-grandfather, and I bring them up. That's tough, man. So, but you got to do it. Because it goes four generations deep of this curse. And it's real. You don't think this nation wasn't cursed when we did the slavery and placated since then? You can't possibly, for goodness sakes, believe that God blessed this nation with us having slaves of another human being race. It's not possible. Why would God bless that? But Satan would placate it. And that's exactly what happened to us. Oh, that's rough to say. That's certainly radical, what I've just said. But you think about it, it's true. Slavery is 1712. Murder, rape, genocide, DNA manipulation by weeding out the weak, keeping the strong. Now you know why. Carried down through generations. If you read Willie Lynch's letter, what we did was a Holocaust. But what the Catholic Church did was a massive Holocaust of 68 million human beings murdered by the Vatican between 1200 AD and 1800 AD, 600 years of mass murder and slaughter. St. Bartholomew Massacre in the 16th century. The Vatican and Augustinian monks murdered 70 to 100,000 French Huguenots in 1 week, in one concentration camp in Croatia, 1941 to 45. Jasanovich, controlled by a bishop, Stefanich. They were going to try to canonize, make him a saint. Murdered 750 Orthodox Christians, Serbs. 60,000 Jews, 26,000 Gypsies in one concentration camp. Family, what we did to the Indians, the Mexicans, the blacks, and ourselves, the wars, and all under the guise of fight for freedom when we were lied to all along. You think God's going to? No. We're under judgment. I know I'm not making too many friends right now, but this is what has happened. We have to pray for this nation. We have to repent of what we've done. And that's what God tells us, man. People are forgetting about all this. They want to pray for the nation. Well, it's just like being delivered. It's the same thing about the nation. You see? Joint Chief of Staff, the White House, Council of Foreign Relations, the war planners. If they want to answer, I got the answer for them right here. If they don't do it, whatever they do is going to fail. They'll find the answer in 2 Chronicles 7:14. And it says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. That's the answer. A revolution will only play into the hands of Satan and all those that work for him. That's a promise and a guarantee. It did in 1776. It did in 1860s. It did. It will always. It never fails to happen. Revolution plays right into the hands of Caesar. They've got it all reversed. We've never won a war. We won battles, never won the wars, because the wars were never meant to be won. They were meant to be fought by the Illuminati and the Freemasons and the Vatican. They were meant to be fought because each war opened up portals for each phase of this Luciferian agenda. If you look at the dates, they don't tell you that. Confess the sins of your sinning parent or nation to God the Father. Then the next thing you're going to need to do is to fully confess out the sin and sins of the sinning parent or nation to the Lord. I think one nation last year was talking about that. Guatemala somewhere? He knew about it, didn't he? He sure did. Remember that about a year, 2 years ago? Was it Guatemala or San Salvador somewhere? God is wanting you to acknowledge and then confess out those sins directly to Him. Leviticus 26:40-42. But if they confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their unfaithfulness in which they were unfaithful to me, and that they also have walked contrary to me, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob, and my covenant with Isaac, my covenant with Abraham, I will remember. So, why does God want us to confess our sins to your father or mother when you had nothing to do with it? That'd be the first question, I would think. God wants you to know exactly why these demons are coming after you in the first place. And the reason is because of the severe sins your sinning parent committed against the Lord. Is it not happening today because of Adam and Eve? Well, there you go. That remains because of the concept of original sin. That's why it only lasts four generations of humankind in the families. God's got this all worked out. God wants you to have full knowledge as to what's going on behind the scenes in the spiritual realm. By confessing out the sins that you know your sinning parents committed, you're showing him you have acknowledged, you have understanding, you have wisdom of these original sins. It's caused all these events to occur. I've heard this more than once myself, that people have done this, and they found out one or two generations back, three generations, when was it? Oh, that they had a witch in witch trials. But actually, the 68 million that were murdered by the Vatican, very few of them were witches. That was a lie. You got radio shows today that's got these so-called quasi-closet experts that say, well, really, the Auschwitz, the ovens there wasn't really working. And there wasn't really a Holocaust there. 6 million Jews weren't really killed. 6 million Jews weren't killed. Yeah, 68 million people in a 600-year period were murdered. You think 6 million? Whoa. You had almost less than about 200,000, almost a million in one concentration camp. Of which that was 60,000 Jews in just one camp, about a three-year period. You know, if you can trace back through your family any type of heavier sin or sins that grandparents may have involved in, it could be a strong recommendation that you also confess out the sins of your grandparents and possibly your great-grandparents, if you can trace some of these sins back. God wants us to acknowledge what we've done wrong. The heavier sins. And sometimes if you pray that God would give you the opportunity, he'll bring to you somehow that knowledge. He'll understand you don't remember, you don't know it, but you pray it out that you acknowledge it. He just might show it to you. And what heavier sins that you do not know, that you don't know about, can also be added to the prayer to make sure that you cover all of your bases with the Lord. Now, we're coming up to the end of the program, and I'm at number three. And number three is be willing to fully forgive your sinning parent and forgive yourself. I'm going to stop here, and tomorrow I'll take up number three. We'll do a little bit of rehashing in the six steps. But family, this has come up more than once. I've been around talking to people, and it has come up, and this works. It works. Family, we're at the end of the Bible study. And all I've talked about tonight is the same thing I'd talk about if I was briefing the Joint Chief of Staff, because this is the battle plan. They got deep underground military bases. They got Nephilim down there. They got all kinds of secret, this, that, and the other. Family, all that's not worth 2 cents when the tribulations begin. It will be destroyed. When? Don't have any idea. That's God's time. I won't worry about it, because that's in God's time. You can sit here all day long. You can sit here for a week and study the Revelation and Isaiah and Jeremiah, all this stuff, and try to come up with a date, and you will not find one. You've got YouTubes out there, 2 hours long, 3 hours long. They go through all this elaborate steps of matrices and formulas and blood moons and trumpets and all this sort of thing, and they never come to a conclusion. And when they do come to a conclusion, it's always wrong. Every single time. Everybody's a doggone expert. They say, well, it's going to be on the 25th of... And they're always wrong. But one of them's going to hit. Not going to be a prediction. It's already been made. It's called the King James Bible. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Book of Revelation. It tells you. And it's written in such a way that you can recognize the event, but you can't predict it. So Satan's trying to tap into Christian, born-again Christian, by use of drugs, medical, vaccinations, whatever he can, to get inside that human being and find out what God's up to. That's the big picture. So a Christian will put a spell upon himself, allowing Satan to the demons to find out what God's up to. Because God gives you wisdom and discernment that Satan doesn't have. I've given you a massive secret here and why you must fight the demonization, not to give any leeway, any insight to Satan about wisdom, discernment of what's going on. But witnessing to others is what's the most important thing. It's not some preacher, rabbi, priest on the pulpit or whatever, giving some kind of political speech or calling the president the long-legged Mac Daddy. I mean, this is an adult talking. What kind of example is that? It's not. A preacher has no business talking about politics. His business is about saving souls and preaching the gospel. It's where they need to stick their nose. Not in blaspheming God's word like Baldwin in Romans 13 or Manning or all the rest of them. They have no business talking about politics. None. It ain't their business. Their business is to turn to and to win souls for Christ. That's their business. And they're not tending to it. God's going to judge churches harshly. Family, it's that time. Y'all have a good night tonight. Lord, we thank you tonight for bringing this Bible study together. Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for leading us tonight. In order to spread the blood of Jesus around us, protect us as we go our ways, protect our families, Father, we thank you and ask you for wisdom, discernment to guide us in our studies. Give us that courage to speak out when that time comes. And Father, these things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Family, y'all have a good night now. I'm going to put these Bible studies together for this week and send them out, I reckon. And, you know, distribute them if you'd like. Or, you know, I don't make a whole lot of friends on these because I'm outspoken with this. And, you know I tick people off every now and then. But, you know, whatever I say, you need to check it up on your own. Find out yourself. Your own research. Your own study of the Bible. That's where it all is. It ends up with you. Starts with you, actually. You become your own expert. You become your own theologian. But the King James Bible is the only true word of God. It don't matter what any preacher, pastor, rabbi, or pope says. They can never name any Bible, book, that exceeds the King James. They don't have them. They don't exist. A lot of copycats. Matter of fact, all of them, except for the King James. But they sure try. Y'all have a good night. And we'll see y'all tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Let y'all know, too, that we're played up in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, highportradio.net by John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, highportradio@yahoo.com, highportradio@yahoo.com. He plays us randomly up there, Bible studies and broadcasts. He's also growing his network, so y'all up there up north, give him a hand up there. Spread the word about it. Also, we're played by KBLU Radio, Thomas, and KBLU Radio at Blue Raven Network. My website is watchmanforjesus.com, and I use it primarily for contact for the broadcast. I've been putting up some of my research there as well, a little bit. And so, family, we'll see you all tomorrow. Those that want to join me tomorrow, you're welcome. And I appreciate the ones that are here tonight. So, y'all have a great night. This is Watchman for Jesus, signing off. And good night. God bless.
The love was shining out from him like sunlight from the sky. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet relief. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
God bless and good night. Signing off.